Welcome back, everybody. We're in the booty bunker, or the...
What's the booty bunker?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a clever name for this place.
For this one? Are we allowed to say where we're at?
I haven't cleared it yet, so
okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Because we alluded to it another time, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll call it the booty bunker for now.
Or the twerking township, or...
Twerking township. Wow. He's just coming to you? That's, yeah. Like, magical.
The rump shaker... yeah, let's move on.
I can't think of one. I'm just like, I got nothing.
How are you?
I'm good.
We took a little break. You went out of town. I got a new dog.
Yeah, you did. Cutest puppy in the whole wide world. Yeah, I went to Bear Lake with my family. So yeah, I was gone. And we're back now.
Good little break.
Yeah.
So what do you got for us this time from the mailbag?
I'm looking still at questions because I got so many questions and I didn't get to probably even half of them. And so I'm going to just continue with answering questions that people have sent me on my Instagram about me personally or about my occupation as a stripper. I feel like... Anyways, all right. So this lovely woman asked me a bunch of really good questions. One of the first things she was curious about was... getting into the industry, which I think I've mentioned is one of the most consistent messages I get. She's actually in her 30s. That's another question I get a lot, is because I am in my 30s and I'm in industry that's not usually, which is funny. I think the perception is that it's not dominated by women my age, but I actually believe it is mostly dominated by women in my age range, just based on, you know, talking to a lot of dancers.
Do the ones that come in younger generally stick around longer from your experience?
No. I feel like it's kind of... I definitely feel like if you get into it kind of later, you either are already established in a career or you're going to really make this your career for now. Whereas younger women might do it... But also older women, I see it, do it as something just for fun, like an experience. Yeah. Like they can say when they're 80 years old, you know, Nana used to be a stripper, you know, they want to have that experience. So definitely in any age range, there's this, you know, wanting to try it out kind of thing. And then maybe coming in and realizing it's not quite what you thought it was going to be. And right. So then, you know, moving on because you already have other things you're doing. So I don't know. I feel kind of like it goes either way. But I do get a lot of questions about, you know, well, am I too old to get into this? And I got my sister, who's in her 40s, into the industry and kind of coached her through that. And so I don't think, you know, someone's like, oh, I'm 29. I'm like, oh, you'll be fine. You know, like there's a market for that. It's kind of right. Like my theory is like, whatever you got going on, you know, like... you're, you know, a little older, you've got big boobs, you've got small boobs, you know, like whatever it is, like there's, I feel like there's a market for that, that you can, you know, if you're going to put in the work and you're going to, you know, follow through with trying to be successful, then, you know, you'll find that whether it's even like a niche market or it's like a, you know, you start to appeal to a broader audience, you know, like you, there's ways to be successful. And my sister, I coached her, but she really ended up having to kind of do a very different kind of part of the industry than me because she's in a different state. And so I don't know if it's something we've discussed, but Salt Lake City has very strict guidelines.
We've gone into it.
And so I definitely think she's had to like reinvent herself in different ways to try and like, you know, be successful. And but yeah, so I think you can kind of learn the fundamentals and learn from other people how to be successful, but you definitely got to find your own way and, you know, figure out what works for you. There's not one size fits all, but, you know, I am happy to guide people along when I can. There are some times that I'm like, dude, I'm mentoring like 20 different girls who are trying to get into this industry. And I'm like, I'm tapped out. Like, between women in person or women online that I'm, you know, trying to help facilitate, you know, them being successful, you know, I'm kind of like, ah, oh, that's a lot. And I was on another podcast recently where they mentioned that I shouldn't monetize that. And for some reason,
say, are you making money?
I feel, you know, I don't, so I don't ask for anything. But when I've mentored girls that get into the industry locally, I see them pay it back, you know, in ways by being helpful to me, or they're sitting with a customer and they'll tip me, or they'll kind of have good word of mouth about me because they, you know, have good feelings that I helped them and was a guide to them in this kind of scary industry. And so I don't charge for it. If something about that, like I just feel like I couldn't feel good about, just because I needed a lot of help when I came into the industry. And so to me, it's like, I didn't learn all of this and become successful so that I could just not help anyone else and like not teach them the things that I did that failed and teach them the things that worked out and kind of impart that stripper wisdom to them. So having, you know, gone off on a little tangent, my thoughts I would give to this woman about getting into the industry at a later age, you know, is that there's lots of women in their 40s. I know a woman who's 50, and maybe have we touched on that?
It doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, I know plenty of women in the adult entertainment industry. That sounds like porn, but I actually do. I know people in porn. I know people that are escorts. I happen to be a dancer that doesn't do anything else. I don't do private shows. I don't do anything else. But depending on which kind of market you're wanting to go into, I definitely have some like feedback for that. And if you're worried about your age, I would just say, don't worry about it. I really think it's like not as much of an issue as you think it would be. And in fact, I think it's a huge advantage in a lot of ways. Like one is that you're not typically going to get caught up in the same kinds of problems or issues that someone who's younger might fall prey to, because they don't have enough life experience to really like protect themselves, or the savvy to kind of like
be assertive
or to avoid people in situations that, you know, gives an opportunity to be offended or disrespected or things like that. I think as you get older as a woman, you definitely can smell bullshit pretty quick and are like, nope, I don't fuck with you. And are not really willing to tolerate as much from people.
Yeah.
And so I think that can be a huge advantage in the industry, where, you know, you use that knowledge to go, who's going to be worth my time and who's not, who's going to waste my time, who's going to drain my energy, and being able to avoid those kind of situations. And also I just think it's so weird that like sometimes a guy will be sitting on my stage and he's like, you know, ask me how old I am, and I'll tell him because I'm really candid about it. And then I'll be like, how old are you? And he's like, 21. And I'm like, this is weird. Like when I really think about how much older I am than him, like that's bizarre. And then there's another part of me going like, and he, like this is typically sometimes when someone's like bought a private dance for me. Which private dances in Utah are just the same as the regular dances, which is that's still a 3-foot rule. I'm on a stage. There's a table and a rail between me and the customer. Just thought I'd, you know, clarify that. But so I already know that they're like interested. They've watched me dance and they'd like to see me dance more. And then I kind of feel weird because I'm like, they're really attracted to me. That's weird to me that I could be so much older than them. And then I've, you know, started to realize that that's a thing, you know, like an older woman who is confident and like knows a thing or two can be very enticing even to younger men. And then of course I think it can be beneficial for older men, where they do prefer seeing someone a little closer in age to them. I could drink water again.
Me, confidence is something I'm really attracted to. So
yeah, I think confidence is huge. Absolutely huge in this industry. And I'm not a huge fan of like the phrase fake it till you make it, because there's a lot of that I don't like. But I also feel like in a lot of areas it's very effective until you get where you want to get, and kind of acting confident in a way that like sends a message to your brain like, oh, we're confident now. Yeah. And with enough of that, you kind of can't help but be like, yeah, I own this shit. This is my shit. Like, and so, yeah, I think there's a lot of advantages to getting into it later. Having said that, there's still like, I wish I'd gotten into it earlier because there's a lot of things, goals I would have met financially much earlier.
Yeah.
but I guess I wouldn't trade it because I was, you know, but I have a lot of friends who started at like 18.
And if not, like a much older woman like approached you and asked you about it, is there a cutoff place you would tell her, you know, not to, or would it vary from the person?
I think it would depend on what part of the industry she's wanting to get into. And I know that sounds weird. And this is, I always have to stress this. These are my thoughts and opinions based on my perspective and my experience. Because I feel like I know women, if they're looking into like escorting or something like that, who do very well, actually, being quite a bit older. I'm not sure quite where the cutoff would be. But let's say, for example, you got a 90-year-old man who wants some companionship, someone to just come hang out with him or go on a walk or, I don't know, something like that. He's probably going to feel a lot more comfortable with a woman closer to his age, which could be
70, 80
years old. So I guess I don't know much about that specific, you know, kind of thing, but I feel like I don't know why not. And I have met women that are quite a bit older who are more into the companionship side of those things. And you know, they, especially, which I feel like is not something people realize, that a lot of times it really, in sex work, you know, people are looking for a companionship. They actually want to feel connected to you and like speak to you. And if you are going to hang out with someone 20 years younger than you, what are you going to talk about? You know, like, unless they're very, very mature or you're very immature, you know, you're not going to have a lot of things to share and connect to. And so that's another thing I've noticed, is that like, when I do kind of connect with customers, we have a lot to share. Cause I have, I don't know if you've ever talked to someone who's never been through shit, but they're,
well, my wife's 7 years younger than me. So there's some things where it's like, she'll be like, I was 2 years old when that happened. Or yeah. So yeah, I do experience that from time to time.
Yeah. But if they're mature enough, like it's fine. I dated a guy that was like 7 years younger than me and who's one of the most mature men I've ever dated. And I've dated guys much older than me. And so it, like, it depends on the person, you know, and yeah, there were some things, you know, that he didn't quite connect on, but like, you know, overall, he was just a very mature person. But yeah, back to kind of the industry, I guess I'm reluctant to say there is any cutoff for that, depending on what, obviously, I think the oldest woman I know who's still dancing, like on stage, is 50. And I don't know when she'll quit or, you know, how long that'll be for her. I know she looks great. I know she feels great. I know I've also seen a lot of pole athletes that are, you know, above 50 who are looking great and killing it. I need water. And so
we need a water sponsor.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Ooh, Diet Coke sounds so good right now. pay us. just kidding. So yeah, I feel reluctant to say that there is, you know, I think it depends on what you're physically capable of, what you're emotionally capable of, because it's not an easy industry. And so, yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any advice I had for her specifically. If you're wanting to be a dancer, go check out the clubs locally. Go see where the girls look kind of happy.
Yeah.
Or really happy. That's a really good way to take the temperature of a club, is if you walk in and the girls look really unhappy, they're probably not making great money. Obviously you can come in during like a really slow time and they wouldn't be making money and they wouldn't be very happy. So maybe come in during a busier time, which is probably Friday, Saturday night, midnight. If I was going to like tell you like the perfect time to really get a good idea of like, if it's a good club or not. And if, you know, the girls there are happy and making money.
Because things are really, like, flowing by then, because, you know.
Yeah, that's probably the peak, it seems like, usually.
What's, like, the busyness, like, on a Friday and Saturday night? What's, like, kind of, like, the rough timeline?
It varies by season.
Okay.
Summer is slower, and winter is busier, and which I've heard is kind of how it is in most bar industries across the U.S., from what I understand. Because during the summer, people are out doing things, you know, outside and are not as much interested in hanging out at a bar. But winter, you know, people are cold and they want to drink and they, you know, are bored. So during most of the time, I feel like it picks up around 11 and it can stay good until about 2. It's very random, so it's not always that way. Sometimes it's randomly busy, sometimes it's randomly slow. But that would be my general, what I would say is how it works. Should I go back to talking about advice for her going in?
Yeah.
Okay, so going back to giving advice to someone getting into older, or not even older, this is actually the advice for anyone. But yeah, check out those clubs, see if the girls look happy, and then you just talk to someone, say, hey, I'd like to audition, who do I need to talk to? And some clubs, you know, they don't really have an audition process, they just kind of throw you on. And some clubs, which are typically the better clubs, do require you to audition because they won't just take anybody, you know, they're more selective. Get into some pole dancing lessons.
I was going to say, do you recommend
Or if you can't afford that, you know, watch some floor work videos on YouTube and those will teach you a lot about some things you can do. And then just take the shit shifts, because that's just like any job that you're getting into where you don't have experience, is that you got to do the shit part and you got to do the shifts that are really slow and that nobody else wants. And then you kind of work your way up through that. One of my other suggestions I've said is to start out at a smaller club. And then when you do go to an audition at a bigger club, you're better. Even if you worked like a month at a, you know, smaller club, that's a month of practice that you've had. And
you've had experience in both, because you're at that smaller one.
Yeah. That was one of the questions. What she asked was what clubs have you worked at? And I've worked at all the clubs in Utah that aren't nude or lap dance. And so I guess I've worked 4 or 5. I don't know. I could probably name them all. But yeah, I've done the smaller clubs and there's an advantage there too. Like I remember feeling like when I left Ogden, I went from kind of like, I'd worked there a year, I'd, you know, established myself pretty well. And then I came to Salt Lake City and it was kind of like, oh, I was a big fish in a little pond and now I'm a little fish in a big pond. And that kind of feeling and realizing that it, in ways I kind of had to start all over and kind of build my reputation there or whatever. And so, yeah, that would be some of my thoughts. I would mention aesthetic just because you can't get around that's a part of it. But I also would want to stress that you don't need to be cookie cutter. You just need to be taking care of yourself and your appearance in a way that you feel good about, you know, good hygiene, healthy, you know, good diet, exercise, you know, things like that. These are things you're going to need if you're going into the dancing, you know, kind of part of it, especially because it's very physically demanding. You know, wears on your body really hard and you need to kind of be in a good place to be able to handle that. And so what else would I tell my young Padawans? I like to stress really taking care of the women you work with, because at the end of the day, customers are going to come and go. But if you're in this industry, to actually be in this industry, these women are going to be what makes or breaks you, essentially. If you have a bad relationship with them, if you come in just for yourself and to burn people, and what's that saying that they say in reality shows? I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to win. Yeah. that kind of mentality. And I know my club's a little different because we don't sell lap dances. That competitive element is not quite there the same, but I've also worked at clubs where there were lap dances and I still can see that you can still have that camaraderie and teamwork. And I've seen that even, you know, when new girls come in and they want to be helpful, you know, they'll help hook you up with dances or like, you know, a lot of the women are really supportive of other women and really want to, like me, they want to help them. And they're like, I know how hard this is. Let me make this, you know, easier for you than it was for me.
And you've mentioned some of your great relationships with the girls you work with now, that they're really supportive. And
yeah, I mean, I feel like I would say it's still, it's a family, but it's still a family that, like, we have issues and, you know, they either blow over or they blow up and then we move along because that's what families do, you know, like families aren't perfect. And I really do believe that there's a possibility for that in, you know, at all the clubs, not just mine. And I've seen it, you know, present at other clubs. I had someone get mad at me recently about how much money they spent at the club, and that's been a huge topic. Should we get into this or should we wrap it up?
We can go into it for a minute. We're at 20.
Oh, really? I thought we'd gone over.
We're at 29.
So I had someone get mad at me recently about how much money they'd spent at the club, and this is actually a thing I've really battled with, because, like, if I connect, I think I've said this, if I connect with you, I feel very weird that you're tipping me now. And so it's really hard to try and kind of keep boundaries and distance so that, like, I don't have to get caught up in feeling bad that you're tipping me. But I still will feel that way, especially, like, if young dudes come in and they're just blowing money and they've told me what their occupation is. And I'm like, you can't afford that. You know, like, yeah. I'll feel so bad and I'll want to, like, stop them. But I'm like, but typically, and maybe I've said this, but what I'll do is I'll kind of just stop engaging with them, because I just am like, I can't do it. I'll let one of the baby strippers wring you dry, and because I'll feel too bad about it. And I guess I know my position is very easy to manipulate people. They're drunk. They're potentially lonely. They're aroused. You know, like, these are all opportunities for me to really work some people over. And I'm not comfortable with that. And so, but at the same time, I'm not going to cock block another girl's money.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you to stop spending. And so it's kind of, I'm like, that's your responsibility. If you don't want to blow more money than you can afford, one, don't come in drunk already. Cause that's what a lot of people do. They come in drunk already and then they're have some more drinks and, you know, blow their life savings on strippers. And so, you know, even not drunk, if you don't want to spend money, don't come to the strip club. Like, however much, yeah, just stay home. Like, I just don't get it. I'm like, don't complain about it if you don't have the willpower or, you know,
you have the means to come in and enjoy it.
Yeah, like, not my problem.
Yeah,
not my fucking problem. Like, but yeah, that's kind of a weird dynamic. I think I've said the word dynamic like 6 times today. Yep. So many dynamics.
That's what we'll name this episode.
Dynamic. The dynamic episode. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
I've still got more questions from that gal, which I love, and I'd love to cover them next time. So.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
And where can they check you out on social?
I just really only do Instagram, and it's Molly the Stripper. Not a huge social media person, but yeah.
You post there and it's fun and it's cute and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, I've got some good content if you want to check it out, and you can always message me with questions and I'd love to answer them.
Engage, and we'll put them on here and all that.
All right, thanks for listening.
Thanks.